pretty exciting and pretty stressful.
isn't there sort of some thriller element to it? Can you recount a little bit about what it's about, what it's called?
It's called Inju, and it's
how do you spell that?
Inju, I-N-J-U.
Okay.
But the connection is not so good.
Oh, you can't hear me?
It's kind of a little strange. Usually, again, because it doesn't sound normal. You have the normal line, you have a normal phone.
Well, I am specifically, deliberately speaking to you through a speaker, which usually works.
Okay, that's why. Okay.
And this way I can record you and, you know.
Okay, I understand. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Are you calling out of your computer or using a Skype phone or a cell phone, or what do you?
Skype, which normally I can hear the people very well, and there it's sorted by the speaker. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, how far are you into Inju? How is that coming?
I have already started shooting a few days of a small unit, and I'm starting on Tuesday.
Right. Okay.
On Tuesday, and it's a big crew. It's over 100 Japanese people, plus few Europeans. So I don't think it has been done before this to shoot a big movie with a Japanese crew. You know,
yeah.
Usually people come here and they end up leaving pretty quickly.
Right. What's the? How did you happen to star in or co-star? You know, play a small role in Wes Anderson's film, The Darjeeling Limited. Can you tell me a little bit about it?
The same thing as when I do small parts is always only with friends, and he asked me, and then you know I was happy to do it for him.
Right. Okay. Now, how did you know Wes, though? I mean, how did you guys?
We met many times in Paris. You know, he was staying in Paris for a long time.
Oh, of course, sure. Yeah, he did. That was in 05, wasn't it? 05, 04?
Right.
Are you living part-time in Paris, Barbe, these days?
Oh, I was just there. I was just there for this terrorist advocate. That was my base. I was starting from there, going to Germany, to Algeria, to Lebanon, and all that.
Right.
So that was my base, but, you know, normally I'm in New York.
Yeah, okay. Well, I just remember years ago you telling me that you have always felt that there's something radiant and essential and adventurous and exciting about Los Angeles, and I always thought that you had decided that you were more at peace here and you liked it here better than any other place.
No, I like Los Angeles very much, absolutely. Mm. But, you know, I live where my movies take me, you know.
Yeah.
I lived in Medellin for a year, now I'm going to be living in Japan for a year, and, you know,
yeah.
I like it, you know.
I love your, you know how much I love your Medellin film. That's one of my favorite films of yours. I really love that actor that you used. How is he doing?
I don't know. He was doing some theater, some Spanish-speaking theater in New York.
Yeah.
And now I think he went back to Colombia.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's just talk briefly about your film, about Jacques Vert. You know, Barbe, I'm such a clumsy linguist. How do you pronounce his last
name? Verges, you say in French.
It's just one syllable, Verge, right?
Verges.
Oh, Verges, excuse me. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, basically,
for me, it's not about Jacques Vergès. For me, I'm using Jacques Vergès as a presentator of the of the history of terrorism, let's say history of blind terrorism, that started in the 50s in Algeria, and that we have seen evolve since then, because it didn't exist before. So I'm using him to try to go to the roots of that.
Mm-hmm. The fascinating quote that you have Jacques Vergé saying at the very beginning is that he rationalizes very early on the genocide in Cambodia in the 70s. He says that it was exaggerated, that they couldn't really control what was going on, that it wasn't deliberate. And I just found that appalling that he would try that. I mean, Of course.
I just want to give the right dimension of the character right off the bat.
Yeah.
You know, because otherwise you get charmed and seduced, and I just want the audience to know what we're dealing with here.
Yeah. Right. Well, the arc of the film, which is called Terrorist Advocate, which I did not, I'm sorry to say, see in Cannes, but I obviously just saw it here. The arc of the film essentially is that he has a glorious beginning as a man of passion and feeling and empathy for the underclass, for the downtrodden, when he gets involved as an attorney on behalf of the Algerian liberation in the 50s. And that is when he falls in love, and that is really the flowering of his soul. It's when he becomes a man of real feeling and passion.
Right.
And then the strange thing, which is kind of a metaphor for getting older or something, is that
that's exactly it. No, that's true. Mm-hmm.
Is that he gets used to sort of being a contrarian and being against established colonialism or imperialism or what have you. And he starts allying himself with virtually every anti-imperialist, colonialist, and then eventually terrorist superstar of the last 50 years. It's amazing, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. And then he ends up defending dictators. In Africa, that's what he defends.
Yeah.
it's quite amazing itinerary.
Yeah. Interesting that he. I guess what it said to me is that once you cast your lot with a certain group of people, they're your group. I mean, they know you. You know them. They trust you. You've got a certain track record, and you're kind of stuck. It's almost like there's an old saying that don't get too good at any one thing, because the world will not let you do anything else.
Yeah, that I didn't see the movie like that, but you may be right. Yes,
You know, it's just that you
approach like that. I mean, it's there is a tragic side to the movie.
But it is a fascinating piece, and I. For me,
I was completely taken, because, you know, I was doing a documentary, but at the same time, I was encountering, at every turn, I was encountering incredible material for fiction.
Right.
So, that's what I always do. When I do a fiction movie, I try to have a documentary approach and document myself maximum. And when I do a documentary, I try to get all the fiction out of it. And there, I had an overabundance of fiction. It was truly amazing.
Now, I was just thinking, there's obviously been a fiction film, a narrative film called Devil's Advocate, but that is, he has also been, that term has been used to refer to him, not just Terror's Advocate, but Devil's Advocate, according to what I've read elsewhere.
Yeah, he likes that, he likes to be called Devil's Advocate,
It's funny, virtually everyone that you speak to, everyone's voice, everyone you speak to in this film, all people who are allied with various terrorist elements, including Carlos even, everybody sounds so amiable, so good-natured, Nobody seems to have a current of anger or any of that seething, looking to you know, take down the evil powers that be. They're all very very nice conversationalists. Is that the way they actually are? Did you have that conclusion?
Of course, yeah, but you know that doesn't mean that we're dealing with something very, very strong and very dramatic. They're good conversationalists.
Yeah. Funny.
One second.
Go ahead.
One second.
Sorry.
Hello. Yes, but I'm on a phone call. I cannot talk now. Okay, let me. What should I do? I should press. One second. Hello.
Yeah.
What do you want me? No, but she's sleeping now. Wait. How do I do? Should I press? Should I press? Are you gonna put her in contact with me or what? Okay.
Yes, right here.
Yes. 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 Please put it on. How do I do? Hello?
Yep.
So what do I do? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Sorry, Jeff, one second, huh?
Uh-huh.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Okay, it's crazy here. Okay. I couldn't get it. Hello?
Yes. How is is the inflationary curve over in? Are you in Tokyo or Kyoto right now?
I'm in Tokyo. I was shooting in Kyoto 2 days ago, but now I'm in Tokyo. Yeah.
Now, Inju is a thriller. It's going to be French language, but I presume obviously also Japanese.
Yes, because there is only one French actor. The whole cast is Japanese.
Okay. All right. And obviously, it'll be a French language subtitle film that we'll hopefully see, or who knows, at one of the major festivals sometime, maybe in 2008, or maybe when do you think
it'll be ready for Cannes? It'll be ready for Cannes.
Oh, really? Okay, wonderful. Okay. So, do you edit as you go along, Barbé? Are you shooting this, by the way, digitally or on film?
Oh no, on Super 35, absolutely. Oh,
okay. But I really liked the look and the texture of Our Lady of the Assassins. Did you not like working with digital at the end?
Oh, no, I love it. But this, you know, when you do a thriller like that, the photographic element is really important. And Our Lady of the Assassins was the first movie done in HD at the time where there was not even the 24 frames. So... for me it was an incredible aesthetic adventure also.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, I'm going to try again.
No, that's fine.
I'm sorry, huh?
Yes. Hello? 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 Yes, listen, I'm on another phone call. I can't... can you connect me, please? Can you connect me, please? Hello? Yes, I can't go on like that. I'm busy on another phone now. So can you connect me? Hello?
Yeah.
I'm not going to answer anymore. This is crazy. Okay.
How is your Japanese, by the way?
Very bad. Very bad. I work through interpreters. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
And then some people speak English, of course.
Well, given what your experience with Our Lady of the Assassins and working digitally, isn't it easier to light a film with digital than it is with 35? Or faster, I mean? Isn't it faster to light it?
Actually, you need more lighting with digital, because the difference between the... You can't have a lot of difference between the bright spots and the dark spots.
Okay.
So you need to compensate. You need to make it even.
All right.
And 35, you can have something very dark and something very bright, mm-hmm. and the film is gonna take it.
Okay, all right. Has Terrorist Advocate played anywhere theatrically outside of this country yet?
Oh yeah, it played in Paris immediately after Cannes.
Oh fine.
And it was a big success, and it's still playing.
Oh good. Okay.
It made a lot of noise, yeah.
Oh, great, okay. Now, what is Jacques said about it himself? He didn't have any thing to say, obviously, about the shape of it. What does he think? Have you spoken?
Right. Well, you know, at first he said that it was very sad that so much intelligence was devoted to something like that. And then he found the right way to approach it. It shows how brilliant it is.
Uh-huh.
He says this is a masterpiece, and it's because of me.
You know, he is a very shrewd attorney. He has a very agile and very clever mind. He knows.
Oh yeah, you can never catch him. He's completely slippery. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I was just wondering, I mean, has he ever thought about, I don't know, I mean, do you think he's happy having been the advocate of so many people that are regarded by the general community as being, at the very least, morally or ethically questionable?
No, he's extremely happy.
Okay.
He is incurably happy, he says. He's incurably happy, and he has no problem at all. Actually, he's very happy. The more people talk about him, the better.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I prefer to talk about terrorism.
the terrorist world has taken care of him, and he's lived a relatively comfortable life. No. Financially?
Oh, but the money doesn't come from the terrorists. The money comes from the African dictators.
Okay. All right.
The terrorist clients don't bring so much money.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I got to ask you. I've been wanting to ask you, but ever since seeing The Last King of Scotland, I was always kind of wondering, you're one of the few, you're the only person I know who's ever met and spoken with General Idi Amin Dada. You made a brilliant film about him. What did you think of Forrest Whitaker's performance? How close was it? How good? What did you think?
Very good, very good. It was very good. He worked very much with my movie, I can see, and he did a wonderful job.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I just didn't have the... I'd love to see your film again, and I actually looked around for it on DVD and couldn't find it. I presume it must be on DVD, no?
Oh, yeah, it's at Criterion. Maybe they sold out, but it came out in DVD just before the release of the, like a few months before. So,
okay.
No, I'm sure it's easy to resupply. I'm sure they have it.
Yeah.
Criterion, yeah.
Okay, because they didn't have it at, the stores I've been to in Los Angeles anyway. But, anyway.
Well, that means he's selling very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I noticed that the brother of Pol Pot, he is interviewed by in your film. He is one of the.
It's not the brother. It's actually the guy that was ruling the country with him, and that is less known.
Okay.
And only now people start to talk about him because he's been arrested.
Right.
That was his last interview when he was still free.
Right.
At the time in Paris, or when the movie opened, people didn't realize how important this interview was. But now that he's been arrested and the the his true part in the Khmer Rouge is coming out, people are, now it's, you know, it's like having an interview with Pol Pot himself. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well,
because they were not making any decision. They were taking all the decision together.
Yeah. Right.
And he was pretty ruthless.
Yeah.
And so I don't mention what the guy says because I consider this movie like a fiction, and it would be a spoiler to say that, you know, Jacques Vergès was not with the Khmer Rouge. I always say what he has to reveal is very important because of the position that he was in.
Right.
It's like, you know, a movie I love, the movie about Africa, the Darwin Nightmare.
Uh-huh.
See that one, Darwin's Nightmare?
I don't believe I have, actually. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. Oh, this was actually a success in France that was a bit huge, but like super huge, like a million people saw it in France.
Huh.
For a documentary, you've never seen anything like that.
Right.
And
right.
In America, it came out, but it was much more discreet.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is constructed also like an inquiry, like detective, like a fiction.
Right.
And I feel very close to this director. There's a few elements in the documentary that was really a spoiler to mention them. And so I feel the same Vergès.
Yeah. Mm. I had a question about the. Let me see. I just forgot it. Oh yes, the missing when he went missing in the 70s. I didn't quite fully understand why he felt necessary. Obviously, he was scared of his. Concern for his life, I guess, but can you just recount why it is that he disappeared in the 1970s for 7-8 years?
That is a mystery that the movie shed some light on it,
yeah.
But you know, I'm not, there is no way to bring an absolute proof.
Yeah, okay.
The movie shed some light on this mystery. And of course, that's the things that you discover along the way.
Yeah.
Between you and me, you discovered that he was with Wadi Haddad, which was the one of the the most active and international terrorist.
Yeah.
He was the father of international terrorists.
Yeah.
And it looks like he was with him. I mean, from everything in the movie.
Right.
Since he was not with the Khmer Rouge.
Did you guys get into discussing...
Of course, since I don't have any proof, this is like, I cannot say that, so please, you know.
Yeah, I understand.
And of course, for the movie, it's not good either to mention ahead of time. I think if you follow the movie closely, and also if you look at the site, because the complement to the movie is the terrorsadvocate.com site, which is... has more information about any movie than any movie site. I mean, it's like a ton of information if you want to find out more about any aspect of the movie.
Okay, good. Did you guys, in the course of your many, many hours of conversation, does he have any beliefs or suspicions about what's going to transpire as far as the U.S. forces in Iraq and when... You know, what's going to happen after everybody leaves? I mean, did he ever talk about that? Surely he has some allies and ties over there.
He was very close to Saddam Hussein.
Uh-huh.
He was going to visit him all the time, and he was... So it was very close to him, and during his missing years, I think that he was close to Saddam Hussein also.
Yeah, yeah.
And not as a lawyer.
Yeah, I understand. Right. Well, that seems like that's got to be the central tragedy of our world right now. What's going on over there? And
waiting for Iran.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God, I don't even know what's going to happen on that score. But Anyway, I thought maybe he had... did you ever discuss it with him, or what the possible resolution could be, and what will happen when we leave, or did he ever get into that at all? Well, anyway, it's a brilliant piece, Barbé. I thought it was fascinating all the way through.
Hey, I was fascinated when I was doing it for two and a half years. I was totally in a suspense mode.
Yeah, yeah. Knowing you as I do, as someone who is very much into pruning and editing, I mean, you really do work something over until you get it down. I take it you must have started when you had the first cut. It must have been a much, much longer film.
Right, right. This was a six-hour movie, even when it was pretty tight.
Right.
Now there is a DVD that's coming out with in France. The DVD version has things that are on the site, by the way. Many cut elements are on the site, but really the original form, the suspense form, the thriller aspect of the political spy thriller is in that length. Because you don't get bored in that length, and it's pretty suspenseful. The rest is extra documentation,
mm-hmm.
and I don't consider that the real length of the movie is more than what it is. It's just that there is other stuff that's very interesting, but it's really not like the integral version. The integral version, the real version, is the movie that is shown on the theaters.
Okay, all right.
And the DVD that's going to come out in France beginning of next year is going to be ours. But it's just extra information.
All right.
It's not constructed like the movie is. The movie is very... I mean, it's a lot of work in the editing, yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah. Well...
It's because I didn't use the voiceover. That was the big aesthetic choice. To do a movie like that without using a voiceover forces you to say everything through the editing.
Obviously,
and
sure.
So then to use only cinematic language to to convey what you think and all the information. So it's a very difficult and exciting exercise.
And you also restricted yourself not to dispassionate outsiders commenting upon it. The talking heads were strictly people who, as I recall anyway, were pretty much people who had first-hand dealings with Jacques.
Right.
And it, right? Yeah, so.
Yeah. And also there is a lot of humor. I mean,
yeah.
It's pretty dark, but I'm laughing all the way.
Yeah. I know. It's like, I really am looking forward to... I don't know when the DVD is going to come out here, but I'd really like to get the DVD when it does come out. I guess it'll be out sometime in 2008, I imagine. But
right, in a year or so,
yeah. All right, well, Barbé, it was wonderful speaking with you, and thank you for taking the time to call. And I'm sorry, I'm sorry for screwing up the other day, but I had to catch a film. It's a very good film, by the way. You know Suzanne Beer, the Danish filmmaker.
No, I didn't. No, I don't know.
She's known for... She did a film called Open Hearts, and she did a film called Brothers, which is being remade by Jim Sheridan. It's called... And this film she made is called Things We Lost in the Fire, with Benicio del Toro and Halle Berry, and it's for calling. And best of luck with Inju, and I hope to see you in Cannes next year.
Okay.
Okay.
Take care.
Take care.